You're listening to the Pinto and White Shadow Show on KFGO.com and 740thefan.com.
And welcome to the Pinto and White Shadow Show here on KFGO.com, the 039 podcast of the Pinto and White Shadow Show. Daniel Pinto Gunderson here alongside Brad, the White Shadow Jones. You can find me on Twitter, at PintoKFGO. You can find Brad Jones.
At the Bison Guy.
And you can find us on KFGO.com. You can find us on iTunes, the Pinto and White Shadow Show. Always love to get your comments, your questions here with us. You can leave a comment on the comment section of our podcast page or send us an email at pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com. That's pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com. 25th anniversary of the release of Field of Dreams today. Brad?
Yep.
Let's get this paper out of the way. I don't want that in there anymore. Sorry.
You want to be able to look me in the eyes.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I got you.
Look in those baby blues.
That's right.
You have blue eyes?
No, I don't.
Okay. Good. I'm very glad I don't know that. Yeah, favorite baseball movie of all time. Is it Field of Dreams?
Major League. I love Major League.
I got yelled at today on Twitter.
You did. I saw that.
I hosted the Jack Michaels Show on 740 The Fan, and I brought this question up, and I said my favorite movie of all time is The Sandlot, which was that opening theme,
yes.
Green Onions, which you thought was the main title theme, or
whatever. It's the Sandlot song. Everybody, okay. There's a big discussion before the show started.
That was completely pointless, but we had it anyways. I had some guy basically rip me because he said that I didn't know who was in what movie. He said that I was wrong, Little Big League or whatever it was called.
Yeah,
he said that I had made a reference to it and said that Gary Busey was in it. It doesn't matter because it was a stupid argument.
Okay.
And he was wrong because I know who's in what movie.
Yes.
Rookie of the Year has got the kid from American Pie, Thomas.
Yep.
Something, whatever his name is.
Yep.
Ian Thomas, whatever. Doesn't matter. Michael Ian Thomas. Doesn't matter. He's got like three first names.
He does.
And then Gary Busey.
Yes.
As well. And I knew that. Of course I knew that. Gary Busey's the coach. Mm-hmm. The guy just thought he was right, but he was wrong. So sorry, I had
Are
to get
better?
That. Do
you
chest.
Feel better?
Do I feel like a bigger man? No.
No, just better. Just better.
I feel a little bit better.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's good.
I feel a little bit vindicated.
Yeah. Major League all day. Mainly because maybe part of this is the broadcaster in me. Bob Uecker in that movie is Harry Doyle.
Okay.
Is so ridiculously good that he steals that movie.
And I like
absolutely steals that movie.
And I like the random stats that they bring up in that movie.
No, that wasn't Major League. That was Little Big League. The random stats was John Gordon in Little Big League.
No, it was both.
They had some, not a lot in Major League.
They're in both. I know that much.
Okay.
I've seen both movies.
Okay, I've
seen both movies.
I believe you.
Come on now.
I believe you.
Why is Kevin Costner in every baseball movie, by the way?
Because he's good.
Because he's Kevin Costner.
Yeah, I mean,
he's in every Major League Baseball movie, it seems like.
He's in several. He does a lot of sports movies.
For Love of the Game.
Yep.
Field of Dreams.
Yep.
Bull Durham.
Yep. Bull Durham's probably my second favorite.
See, I would go.
I would go Major League Bull Durham as my top two, and I'll always have a soft spot for Little Big League, because
it's
Ken
twins.
Griffey Jr., the Twins, and it was funny. It was good.
See, if I was to go top three, I'd go Sandlot first.
Yeah.
I would go for Love of the Game second with Costner.
Yeah.
And then third, I would probably go, well, Bull Durham's okay. I'm not a huge fan of it. It was all right.
Yeah.
It's better as I move along with it now, but I would have to go with Field of Dreams third.
I'm regretting my decision. I can't put Little Big League third. That's not good. You got my sounder there?
Hang on.
All right.
I immediately regret this decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably go Sandlot. I'm a sucker for the comedies. I like
Sandlot
the comedies.
Sandlot was great.
I think I gotta go Sandlot. Third.
Okay. So
with a little bit of love, although I wouldn't put this up there, but I feel like The Natural has to be mentioned.
Oh yes, The Natural was very good as well. I still there's some that I haven't seen. I haven't seen I've seen is Eight Men Out.
Yeah, I haven't seen
the Black Sox movie, but I haven't seen The Damn Yankees, I think is what it's called. I haven't seen that one yet.
61, the Roger Maris movie.
Oh. Yeah, that movie. I've seen that one. I'd have to put that in my top three. Hang on. Let me hit the sounder again.
I immediately regret this decision.
Yeah, I'd have to put that one in the top three. That's tough because there's so many good baseball movies out
and
there.
Barry Pepper as Roger Maris. Oh. It's scary how much he looked like Roger Maris in that movie.
Oh, I know.
Barry Pepper underrated in sports movies as well. He played Dale Earnhardt in 3 and was really
good.
And
I never saw
that
one.
I would have to. I'm sticking with my three. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Sandlot 3. I'm gonna go Bull Durham 2. Major League 1.
I'll go Sandlot. I'll go For Love of the Game, and I'll put 61.
And
at
then
3.
Major League back to the minors. 127th.
I never saw that one. What about Mr. 3000?
That might be
back.
128th. Or 128th.
We should just sit at the beginning or close to the beginning of every sports season. We should sit down and instead of going through the what's this and this take on that, we should just sit down and watch
movies
that relate to the sport.
Oh, I could do that.
Football movies, baseball movies, basketball movies.
Are you going to see Draft Day?
Probably going to, but
that's not. It doesn't seem like a theater one.
Reluctantly,
that seems like I'm gonna
rent it
or
yeah.
wait until it comes on like a free movie trial on my DirecTV.
Right, exactly, because it just doesn't look.
It's not a theater movie. You go see like a Michael Bay movie in theaters.
Yeah.
You go see something with explosions and loudness or something that's gonna scare the crap out of you or something like that. You don't go. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't do.
No,
you don't do the draft day at the theater.
No.
So, all right, let's get to this. It's gonna be a fast paced show. Because I can't really stay like Brad much longer with all red. He came in his regulators outfit.
That's true.
You guys have a pullover
first softball
windbreaker
practice.
For
yeah, here,
softball.
Just to get it,
for slow
get
pitch it. Softball. He's got shadow on the back of this thing, white outline with the number 13. The regulators
mount up
script over the right or the left breast, if you will. And he's it's over the heart because he's the heart of the team. I think
that's
is what
right.
he's trying to get
right.
at. So we're going to start here because
you've got mail.
And we do have mail. Sorry for the loudness of the sounder. Blew our eardrums off. But we do have a couple of things mail-related. And we're going to start with, we put it in the mail section because it's under the comments. But Marcus from Mayville has put some comments in there.
Okay.
And we talked about Kevin Love needing a 1A type player next year. He immediately thought of Stephen Curry and is pretty much upset at the Minnesota Timberwolves for life for passing up on Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And K-Love, Steph Curry duo would be awesome, but we're not going to lament about something that's not possible. Timberwolves screwed up pretty badly in that one. So
They literally need to win the lottery to keep Kevin Love. They need the first or second pick, and they need to get Parker or Wiggins.
Well,
if they get one of those two guys, they might have a shot. That's it. That's the list.
Interesting take today. I talked to John Krasinski, an AP sports writer from the Twin Cities, on the Jack Michaels show on 740 The Fan. And one of the things he said, because I brought that up, I said, you know, interesting offseason coming up. Do you at all foresee Kevin Love being here at the end of next year? What do the Timberwolves have to do? And he said, well, you look at the Portland Trail Blazers right now, and they were in the same position last year. A team with LaMarcus Aldridge that Aldridge wanted to leave. He wanted out. He wanted to go. And all of a sudden, Trailblazers get good and
they hit
make the playoffs.
But they hit pay dirt with Damian Lillard.
That's the thing, is they have Damian Lillard. I need a sound every time I screw up somebody's name.
We can't play sounders that much.
No, that's true. And the Timberwolves don't have a guy like him. But again, the Timberwolves don't have a guy like him. Will the T-Wolves trade for somebody, perhaps? You know, package
again,
a bunch of things together. It's so difficult.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it right now because, I mean, Marcus from Mayville brought it up. Timberwolves coaching issue. That's one of the topics we have on the show.
Yep.
Might as well get into it because locally there's not much. We'll get to locally, but the selection of coaches out there for the Timberwolves, the names that have been out there have been like
Freddie Hoiberg,
Tom Izzo.
Tom is stop it. Just stop it.
It's been out there. It's been on the wish list. Richard Pitino's been on the wish list. Flip Saunders has been on the wish list.
Well, Flip Saunders
Izzo's
could hire himself. Izzo's not coming. Richard Pitino's not coming.
No, he's not coming. I don't see Fred Hoiberg coming.
That one makes a little more sense.
And it does make a little bit more sense, but the thing with Saunders said he wants someone with experience in the head coaching position. And the other problem is, for me, you have to put in a coach that goes, all right, I have one year. Because once it's done, it's back to rebuilding.
Yeah.
Because you look at a coach, I have 1 year to win 50 games just to get an 8th seed in the Western Conference.
And with a roster that's going to be no different next year.
Right. What are they supposed to do? They've tied in a lot of money to these guys long term.
They've got 12 players under contract for next year. They have no flexibility. Who are they going to trade? I mean, you talk about that. Rubio's literally shot his trade value out of the water.
Yep.
Because he can't shoot. Pekovic is quickly becoming a relic, and he was a relic when they signed him because you need somebody who can protect the rim playing next to Kevin Love. He can't do that, and, you know, Love is a below-average defender. Pekovic, you know, he can bang a little bit. He's a good rebounder, but against teams that are going small and spreading you out, you can't play him. Indiana ran into that with Indiana against Atlanta. Roy Hibbert, you know, was largely ineffective because they're playing a five that pulled him away from the basket, and that's where the NBA is going. So they got a lot of money invested in Pekovic, who doesn't fit in the NBA right now. He just doesn't.
The one thing they have going for them is they'll have a decent enough pick with the draft being as deep as it is, and they can look at their positions and go, we need a guy who can ball. I mean, that's kind of how it goes if you want to get, you know, if you want to use the term ball. They need a guy who is versatile enough to, I don't want to say spread things out because they spread it out enough, but versatile enough where he can get into the paint and be a true post presence, but then also drag somebody out.
But they can't do that now. Number one, there really aren't guys like that. Can be a true post presence and can shoot from the outside. Those guys are superstars. I mean, those guys just don't come around. And, you know, decent enough pick. I mean,
but it's
12,
a deep
13,
draft
14.
Is what I was trying to get at.
Well,
it's a deep draft.
See, that's
draft.
The thing. I'll need to see it a little bit more, but I keep, you know, people say that it's not necessary. It's a top heavy, but not deep draft. I don't know if I believe it. I need to go look, do a little more research on that. But some of the people say, well, yeah, you've got your top 2, 3, 4 guys that are really, really, really good. But after that, it dries up quick. So but you say that every year, and then you end up, you know, somebody ends up finding somebody later on in the draft that's good, and they need to find that guy. But that's one guy a year.
You have a coach that's going to step into a situation that he has literally 1 year to go.
Yeah, and who's going to go into that? Like,
situation?
The Van Gundy's going to do it if you want somebody with experience?
I
wouldn't
see that.
I wouldn't do that because
Jeff or Stan can't see it.
No, I mean, that's not the right situation for either of them unless Stan just really, really, really wants to coach. I think he'll be able to find a better job than that. You know, if you want a guy with experience, what does experience mean? Does it just mean somebody who's been a head coach? In that case, Hoiberg makes sense. If it's head coach in the pros,
right?
You know,
Saunders makes sense too. But then you go, hey, I know you guys just hired me for this job this year, but I'm going to go ahead and take 1 year off or whatever it is, whatever Saunders believes, and goes back to coaching the same team. NBA coaches are so weird. It's such a weird.
You know, it'd be really
situation
funny?
Because people are moving all over the place, and and for Saunders to go from he's like the president now, and then to coach of the team he was a head coach of at one point that basically booted him out. Yeah. It's just a weird scenario.
Yeah. What would be really funny is if McHale got fired in Houston, because there's talk that if they don't make a run, his seat could be a little warm.
Right.
If they bounce Kevin McHale and then have Flip Saunders be the president to McHale's head coach.
Right.
Little role reversal.
Yeah.
It'd be funny. I don't know if that's the right move,
anything
but it'd be
else,
funny.
If anything else, it would be ironic,
yeah,
I suppose.
It would entertain me.
You can say that coaching situation, and that's going to be,
you're looking
from the standpoint
of
watching, it's going to be fun just to go, okay, this is interesting.
You're probably looking at either Hoiberg or a retread, like a Byron Scott type who seems to 3 years fired, 3 years fired.
Right.
You know, you're looking at Avery Johnson. You know, he goes a couple years. You're looking at one of those kind of guys is probably what they're going to end up with.
Or the other route you could go, and I don't think the Timberwolves are going to go this way, but say, you know what? We're going to go with a new coach. See how it goes. A guy that we haven't heard of. A guy that's been an assistant in the NBA or something of that
nature. There's some guy.
I was
visiting with my younger brother earlier, and he said there was talk about a guy in Memphis who'd been an assistant there for a while. That's kind of the next guy that everyone's like, really? This guy doesn't have a head coaching job?
Right.
There's an assistant down there. I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
And, of course, with the Timberwolves, because the position actually does have a little bit of intrigue to it. Because if you're a coach that's established, and that's the part, if you're an established coach and go 1 year paycheck with a – you look at the roster is much more talented than the record would appear.
Really? I think their roster is exactly how talented as their record would
40
appear.
40 and 42?
I think they're a 500 team.
I think they're a 45 to 46 win team, maybe a little bit better. I do. I really do. I think that if you get a coach for 1 year, and you got to remember, with Rick Adelman, his retirement comes along with the fact that he really wasn't into coaching this year. And he can say he was, and he was, but when you have a wife that's having issues health-wise with seizures, and the involvement he had with that part of his life was great. He was very involved with it, which is good. I'm not going to fault him for that, nor should anybody, but that's always going to weigh on your mind. You need a coach that goes, look, I know what I'm doing here. I know what I want to get accomplished. I know how to handle a guy like Kevin Love, and I know how to handle his band of merry men. I'm going to be able to do this one season, one shot. Here's my goal for the regular season. Here's my goal for the playoffs. Let's go. Let's get it done. After this, I'll take my paycheck and go home.
I still don't know that they're that much better. I mean, but a 45, 46 win team, whatever, that still leaves them out of the playoffs in the West. I mean,
and that's unfortunate. That's why you got to aim for 50. I mean, you have to aim that high when you're a Western Conference team.
They're just not that good.
Are they 50? And exactly. I said 46, maybe a little bit better, but 50 wins is I think the 48 wins, the difference between 48 and 49 this season for a Western Conference team is playoffs or see you later. You know, that's how good the Western Conference is. So maybe they get lucky with a guy who can do it all in a small bit part in the draft, which is highly unlikely because they're a little bit further back than you'd like for a player like that. And maybe they get lucky with a coach that knows what he's doing.
And here's the thing, though. I think there's teams behind them that have a better potential at being better next year than what the Wolves do.
Yeah.
I mean, the Hornet or the Pelicans.
Yes.
I mean, they got the potential to make the leap next year because Anthony Davis is
the real deal.
He is. And there's going to be some teams that are, but Phoenix is ahead of them. So, I don't count Phoenix.
I'm just saying that there's another team. You're not going to see a lot of these teams. I mean, Memphis started out the year really bad, and then all of a sudden they're in the playoffs.
But they dealt with some injuries, and then you get, they've got three legit players. I mean, they got, you got Conley, you got Zebo, you got Marc Gasol. I don't looking at it now, unless there's some major things happen, unless, if the Spurs all of a sudden, if Duncan and Popovich ride off into the sunset, and Ginobili, then maybe they take a little bit of a downturn at that point. But other than that, who else is going to get worse?
It'll be fun to see what happens this season, in the offseason with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Let's move on. Let's get into some of this.
Local.
And with the local stuff, too, Marcus from Mayville also writes about, as far as college baseball goes, we talked a little bit about that as far as NDSU and Todd Brown did with the NDSU baseball team.
Sure.
And we talked about how tough that would be to be a successful head coach in college baseball, especially in this area. Says, and he works for Mayville State. He said, our baseball team went something like 36-5 last year, won a conference tournament, won a few games in the national tournament, and never got to see him play once because of the weather. He references a game this year between Mayville and Jamestown. They have to travel to Redfield, South Dakota to play a makeup game. And just kind of outline the situation it takes to be a successful college baseball team in the northern part. And that gets back to NDSU a little bit. He also wanted to see us play the infamous one-on-one battle, which we will do. I worked on my outside game this Easter weekend.
Okay.
Out in the park, Bathgate Park across from my home, my house, I should say, and knocked down a few jumpers. I still had the stroke, was able to account for the wind coming out of the west.
Oh,
so that's part of it, though. That's part of the one-on-one outside. You'll learn.
I'll be taking you to school.
Okay. Speaking of NDSU, spring game coming up on Saturday. And a reminder, Chase Miller and myself will be doing the Tailgate Show, a show Ryan Gallagher usually does during the NDSU regular season for football. And we're going to do it for the spring game. Noon to 1:15. Kickoff for that is at 1:30, the spring game, this Saturday on the Mighty 790 KFGO. One of the things I've been hearing is that the defense for NDSU in the spring is looking bad. Brad, let's rip this take. That people are out there saying this. Or okay, do you want to rip this?
Define people first off.
People in the media. People who know people.
Okay. People in the media.
Yes.
Okay.
Who are hearing from their sources, coaches, players, what have you, that the defense is looking bad during spring practice. I want to rip this take.
Yes.
I want to rip these things that I'm hearing.
Okay. Number one, it's spring. Guess what? These guys are coming off the third straight national championship. They just got unlimited snacks given to them and unlimited food by the NCAA. They may have been celebrating for a few days here.
Who knows?
And oh my gosh, I feel like a broken record in rehashing how much I hate really anything to do with spring football and taking anything meaningful away, other than an injury. And that's pretty much the list. As far as something that there are things that they can do to get better, but as far as things to really report on, and man, the defense looks great, the offense looks bad, whatever. Come on.
We talked about it last week, and we talked about, in my, you know, thought process, my opinion, this year is going to be different for NDSU because of the new names and the opportunity to see a guy like Carson Wentz at the quarterback running the first team. Some other guys who's going to be at that cornerback position. I don't know his name. I want to see how he does. See a different running back. See Chase Morlock maybe get a few more snaps. In the end, yes, it's very limited in what you can see. And to hear that the defense isn't doing well is a little bit laughable, because there's no Colton Hegel. There's no Travis Beck. There's no Carlton Littlejohn. There's no C.J. Smith. You're talking about core guys that were key to NDSU's championship run, not only last year, but the last few years, not being in spring practice. Well, yeah, you're going to have a bunch of guys that are young. They're green. They don't know. And coupled with the fact you're trying to teach new guys, every coach is going to come in with the way they want to run stuff. Chris Klieman, the head coach now, was the defensive coordinator last year, but he's not the defensive coordinator now. It's a new guy. And yes, they're still going to keep the same schemes. 4-3 defense, really concentrate on dominating the line of scrimmage. But there's wrinkles, these little nuances that players have to learn. And if you're a new player,
it's just going to take time.
Yeah, it's going to take time. So relax with
Simadana.
That.
Sima.
It'll be fun, though, for this spring game, just to see the new faces. So again, if you're there, make sure and tune in to the Mighty 790 KFGO. Or if you can't be there, tune in anyways. Chase Miller and myself, I'm giving shameless plugs.
Yeah.
It's coming up. Don't roll your eyes at me.
I didn't roll.
I saw a roll.
I might have rolled.
You rolled.
It's possible.
Spring game, tailgating show. It'll be noon to 1:15. Chase Miller and myself. Check it out. Mighty 790 KFGO.
Oh,
all right. That's the NDSU football take. Not much else to go with NDSU-wise. So we will move on to
regional.
Moving on to that. We already discussed Minnesota Timberwolves, the announcing of the retirement of Coach Rick Adelman. I wanted to talk about the favorite team he coached that you remember, but I think that's kind of stupid. I'm going to call it stupid.
Well, that was a heyday of me for watching NBA, and probably for you as well.
Yeah, because I was thinking the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
Mike Bibby. Yeah. Doug Christie.
Yeah.
Chris Weber. Peja Stojakovic. Do you want me to go on?
Vlade Divac.
Bobby Jackson. So, yeah, they were a fun team to watch.
They were fun. Even a young Hedo Turkoglu. Coming off the bench for that team. I still remember they played, I don't remember what year it was, it had to have been like 02, 03, somewhere around in there. They played a playoff series against the Steve Nash, Michael Finley, Dirk Nowitzki Mavs, where both teams were either close to or had 100 points by the end of the third quarter. And it was just, for me, as a, you know, as a kid who liked to shoot, didn't play much defense, could score a little bit, man, that was fun to watch. They just ran and ran and ran and ran, and it was glorious. Don't undersell he was the coach of that Houston Rockets team that won 22 games kind of randomly one year with Tracy McGrady.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So he was the coach of that team as well. I think it was 06, 07, or 07, 08.
Don't undersell that. And then, of course, the Portland Trailblazers, that's Michael Jordan knocked down like 23s in the first half or whatever
that was. 6 threes in the first half. Yeah.
Clifford Robinson going out. The only guy who wore a headband back in that day before headbands became popular again. And he went out and tried to block Jordan. And Jordan just right in his, and then looked to the scores table and shrugged the shoulders. Yeah. What do you want me to do here? So he's had a great career.
Over 1,000 wins.
Just one of those guys that you're going to look back and go, boy, those are some good teams. Adelman coached those teams.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate that his career goes out like this with a very underperforming and underachieving Minnesota Timberwolves team. But we wish him the best. Not that he's listening. Well, maybe he is. Who knows? In his future ventures. The question that I have on here pertaining to the NFL draft, which is now a couple weeks away. Give me, Brad, two quarterbacks, and where you think each quarterback would be drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. That they would pick, and I can't say these names either, and we'll see how this goes. We'll make it an ongoing wager thing.
Oh no, I will not make this an ongoing wager.
I will.
I know.
I control the ongoing wager.
Okay, well then I'm not gonna. I don't know. I don't care.
Give me a name. Give me some name.
But I'm not putting this as an ongoing wager. I don't feel strongly about any of this.
Well, it could be a push because I don't feel particularly strong about this.
No, I refuse. I'm abstaining from an ongoing wager.
You shouldn't wear that hat. It says barrel of fun. You're not being a barrel of fun right now.
No, I'm being smart. I'm trying to win the wager. It's tight. Tight.
Okay, fine. We won't make it a wager, but give me two quarterbacks and positions. And you're going to feel real bad if this happens.
I don't know.
You will.
Bridgewater's the guy that I would like to see them end up with. I guess he's kind of been a roller coaster as far as what the up and down the board, which is so dumb because the up and down the board is such a media term. And because it's so strange listening to the draft talk and this reporting before the draft, because you know that nobody's telling the reporters the truth. So you have no idea what to believe. Mike Zimmer could have ripped Johnny Manziel because he loves him and hopes that Manziel falls. That's very, very possible. So Bridgewater's been the guy that I've always kind of hoped ended up in Minnesota, so he would be the name that I'll throw out.
Let me kind of redo this question then in a way that maybe is easier to talk about.
Okay.
If there are, say, what quarterback do they have to take if he falls to him at pick eight? So you've got Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, David Carr.
I still like Bridgewater out of
those
guys.
Some guy named Tom Savage that this website has is like their 31st overall.
Randy Savage?
No.
Not right.
Macho Man.
Yeah. Bridgewater.
You would say if Bridgewater falls to eight, which might be possible, you would want the Vikings to take him. You'd think they'd have to take him.
I don't think they'd have to. That would be what I'd want, though.
To me, I think it would be very hard for the Vikings to see a Johnny Manziel.
I agree.
Fall to
I
eight, and they go, you know what? No. Yeah. If it's Blake Bortles, I think people can accept it. Even if it's Teddy Bridgewater, I think people will go, oh, okay, maybe not Bortles because he's being talked as the number one and fans are going to...
He's the prototype.
He's the prototype. Yeah. They're going to go, well, you can't... But to me, if it's Johnny Manziel, I think they could look at Teddy Bridgewater and go, I can't take him at eight. And those are the three names only in my mind they have to take.
If you're asking the... Who would fans be most upset if all three are available and they passed on this quarterback? Who would they be most upset on? It's probably Manziel.
And I think, unfortunately, that's not just because it's Viking fans. I think that would be a fan of any NFL franchise. Even if it was the New England Patriots, they would go, we want
Bring
Manziel.
Bring him in.
Yeah. We'll make him a backup. We'll turn him into the next big thing for the Patriots. Or they would do the stupid, he doesn't know the Patriots way.
No.
He doesn't know the Patriots way. Well, neither did Aaron Hernandez, so see how that did for you. To me, Johnny Manziel is the guy. If he comes up at number eight, he's on, the clock, or you're on the clock and he's still on the board, you got to go, we got to take him here. Now, again, you're putting yourself up for a situation with a guy who, to a lot of people, looks as to be someone who's not going to be successful because he doesn't play in the pocket, he doesn't play the NFL way, but he's so wildly popular and he's so much of a media darling in the way that he always has stories being written about him that Viking fans would rip.
Yeah,
the front office if they passed on.
And I'm going to qualify this with the fact that really whatever I say about a prospect in the draft, take it to the bank the other way because I am wrong almost every single time. But I'm in the camp of Manziel is not going to work out in the NFL. He'll be a splash in the pan, and I could see him when he gets in right away. I could see him having a Vince Young level of success when he gets in right away, and then after a season, I think he's just going to get beat up.
I feel the same way. Yeah. I feel like Vince Young is going to be the type of thing because
I think that's the comp.
There's going to be some things that NFL teams are going to have to adjust to for him, and he's going to be able to play with a moderate amount of success. But yeah, past that, I think that there are just going to be some things. He's got this idea about him, or at least this way about him, that seems to enjoy the limelight just as much as Vince Young did.
And to that part, I really don't care about, to be honest with you.
If you don't care, that's fine. Is it going to get in the way, and people are going to bring it up?
It'll be a storyline, absolutely.
Is it going to get in the way of his?
I just think he's just going to get beat up.
That's the other part about it, too. He's not a particularly big guy. Yeah, especially if he starts venturing out of the pocket, because you're not dealing with linebackers running 4.7s. They're running 4.5s in the NFL.
And they hit hard.
Yeah, they hit very hard. So, yeah, I think we can both agree. You like Teddy Bridgewater there. I think that if Johnny Manziel ends up there, you got to take him. I think to me, that's a dumb sentence. I think that they're going to take someone in the later rounds.
Probably.
With these quarterbacks. Because there are names out there, you know.
Yeah, Aaron Murray.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of those guys. Yeah,
Zach Mettenberg that were hurt during the season that just, you know, they're not on the radar as much now. So we'll move on from regional. We'll move into
national.
We do have a. Hang on, let me pod this down for people.
You've got mail
from Tyler in. I believe he's in Toronto.
Toronto.
This week. And he has some follow-up for us on our pay-to-play for student-athletes. 4 points, Brad. They're short, but okay. Here they go. He goes, 1, you are stupid. They are paid via scholarship. And he had said that we don't think they're paid, or at least we said we don't think they're paid. He felt
that they are via scholarship.
Technically, they're not paid.
Okay.
Technically, they're not paid.
There's a lot of value in that scholarship. The way the system works, though, they don't get the value from the scholarship.
To that point, he says, you're stupid. They are paid via scholarship. A huge expense for us normies, as he says, meaning you, me, anybody else that just went to school to get a degree.
I get that.
Well, I have to explain to you. You're a normie.
Yeah, thank you.
That don't have mommy and daddy pay for everything and don't have athletic scholarships. 2, if they need money to live on the side, do what every other kid does. Take out student loans for living expenses, like the White Shadow said.
Thank you.
But not any special interest rates. They can pay the same BS 6.8% I am stuck with. Okay.
Okay. I'm sensing bitterness from Tyler
here.
Yeah,
he's a bit bitter. Yeah. 3, White Shadow, you are misinterpreted, or you either misinterpreted my other college areas argument or are wrong. Colleges routinely benefit from grants for new facilities, labs, equipment, etc., based on the research students perform. Those students can't come and say, give me part of my grant because I did X amount of research. No one is up in arms regarding other areas at universities.
I still don't think I know what he means.
Okay.
Do you?
Other college areas. And I'm trying to remember. We got to go back to that email because he had brought that up.
If we got to go back to it, I think we move on. We've been having this conversation for a month now.
There is no way to create a pay scale for athletes in different sports, even though men's basketball team makes X amount of dollars per player. Do they get the same amount of money as track player whose team lost money over the year? Can't standardize it fairly, so it shouldn't happen. And I had said that it should, and you said it should, but in a different way, or at least for a loan standpoint to help pay for different things. His arguments are valid, and he does come up with some good stuff. Again, though, you have to remember, if you're looking at these athletes and going, okay, this is what they get specially is the scholarships, maybe you got to look at the things that they're doing that are special as well. I mean, they're going they've got football games in Texas on a Thursday.
Nobody's selling the jersey of somebody who's working in a research lab.
That's true. I mean, the athletes go through a lot of different things. They have to keep a minimum or whatever they feel is the minimum grade point average, and people are going to say, well, you know, there's people that help them out with this and help them out with that, and that's very true at some other schools. At levels like NDSU, you're not going to have a secretary help you out with grades. You have to be able to keep up a minimum GPA. Meanwhile, you've got to play in the West Coast on Saturday, and then 3 days later, you got to be on the East Coast for some holiday tournament, all the while trying to keep up grades, get to class. You're never in class. You have to do all these different things. You're not a regular student. Obviously, you have the ability to put the ball in the hoop or score a touchdown, but now you've compounded those things. That's why I think these athletes that
and
get
Tyler's,
3 points.
And Tyler's argument is, yeah, you're right. They're not. That's why they're getting a free ride. That's why they're getting at NDSU, whatever, $19,000 when you include the cost of living and textbooks, and you know you have all of that stuff in there. That's that they're getting paid via $19,000. I can picture Tyler, even though I've never met him, throwing his arms up with what I just said and saying, exactly, thank you.
Right.
And that's what he's saying. That's fine. I get your point. But at the same time, again, being able to take student loans, because I don't believe they can, and I think that's the thing. I don't know that they can fill out a FAFSA and take out just a regular student loan like you and me can.
And you would think that they should be able to.
That would be my initial thought. Yes.
Okay. Anyway, we've hammered this home to death.
Yes,
we have.
We gotta go.
What we haven't beat to death is NBA playoffs. They just got underway. First game in every series is here and gone. Couple games going tonight. My Raptors lost because Paul Pierce is the truth.
He is the truth.
Oh, my goodness. What a fourth quarter for that guy. Yeah. But we don't have to discuss that much. I wasn't completely surprised. I figured they'd steal one in Toronto, and I think Toronto will steal one.
A lot of
love
for the Toronto crowd, though. A lot of people on Twitter are giving props to the Toronto crowd.
They're legit, man. Drake, you know. I mean, he's our celebrity.
Yes.
He's our celebrity fan.
Yes.
And I like saying "our" because I have been a real Toronto Raptor fan for my entire life. Not a bandwagoner here. Series that has you fallen in love with it already that you didn't think you would be. That you looked at and went, all right, so be it. And now you're going, boy, I want to watch more of that series.
Yeah, Atlanta-Indiana is actually the series for me. I watched quite a few of these games, actually. And you and I are both basketball junkies. A lot of compelling storylines there. Roy Hibbert, how can you be like 7'9" and get 3, 4, 5 rebounds, whatever it was he ended up with in that first game? And he's had a few games like that. I don't get that.
Not aggressive enough.
He's not a good fit for this series. They got some dude that I've never heard of with a shaved head and a beard that's out shooting threes, and he's like 7 feet tall. Atlanta does, and they've got no Al Horford. But Jeff Teague is just slicing and dicing. I mean, Kyle Korver is – I love Kyle Korver, a guy who's just going to stand out there and gun all about it. That one was surprised me a little bit how much I got into that game.
Sometimes just because the seedings are the way they are – and seeding-wise, it happens more in hockey than anywhere else.
Yes.
They just don't matter.
Yeah.
They really don't. And you see that this year with the way they put the seeds – you know, you've got 1 versus 4 instead of 1 versus 8 when it came to points. The way they did the playoffs this year for hockey was a completely revamped system, but it kind of goes into the fact that seeds don't matter.
Yeah,
they really don't. In basketball, they kind of do because you've got home ice advantage, home court advantage, same thing. But again, the level of talent between a 1 and an 8, especially in the Eastern Conference, and you could say in the Western Conference, it's very different.
Yep.
But sometimes the matchups work to your advantage so well that you might find an upset.
That's just it. The matchups don't seem to be working that much in Atlanta's
favor. There's a way you can manipulate that, and it looks like at least for one game, Atlanta has figured it out. Yeah. Now does Indiana come back and get a second game?
It's at least going to be on the TV, whereas before, you know, usually Atlanta Hawks get relegated to NBA TV every time. I'm at least going to – I'll
gonna
at least mosey
it.
Over there.
Yeah, I'll search it out. Yeah. To me, that's a fun series. More so, I'm looking at Chicago, Washington.
Okay.
The 4-5.
Yep.
And to me, it's because Washington's one of these teams that you're going, okay, all right, I like what I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
And John Wall and Bradley Beal. And
Nene played well.
Yeah. And it's interesting because Chicago's a very good defensive team, and they got to put up with a team offensively that can fill it in, which is... Again,
I still don't understand
regular.
How Noah can make a jump shot with his ball spinning sideways. I've never understood that.
Who cares? Man can pass, rebound,
yeah,
and
he's fun. He's fun. To me,
that one in the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference, it's to be expected. You know, Portland, Houston, we knew that was going to be a fun series just because there's a lot of points to be had there.
And we knew the best first-round series was going to be Golden State, L.A.
L.A., yep. And Golden State, is Doc Rivers in... any kind of trouble?
Stop it.
If LA doesn't win
Stop
that
it.
First round series?
No.
You don't think so?
No. No.
Okay, that's fine. I don't think so either. I just was going to see it. If you could go somewhere with that. No, I don't think so either. The Golden State with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, it's a fun series. We knew what we were going to get with that. But a couple Eastern
series.
I'll be
going home to watch that tonight. We're recording this Monday night, and that'll be definitely on Watch Those Boys Gun. Hopefully we can keep it. Hopefully Iguodala and Griffin stay out of foul trouble. My guess is, I think there's going to be a couple of times where people are separated, because I think after the officials got both Iguodala and Blake Griffin into foul trouble, Griffin plays only 20 minutes. I think they're going to let some stuff go tonight. I think it's going to be a physical game tonight, and I think there's going to be some scuffles, which kind of seem to follow Blake Griffin either way. But
did he throw the water on the fan on purpose in your mind? Because it's such a dumb thing, anyways. But
I don't.
It looks so cheesy. Yeah. Like, his acting is cheesy when you see it on the commercials.
Yes.
That's how it looked. I felt like he did it on purpose. Yeah. Like, he knew the guy was there. He knew the guy was chirping. I have a cup full of water. What? Six foul? Oh, my goodness. And then he threw the cup at him kind of, too. Like, he was so upset he threw the cup over the scorer's table right at the guy.
Yeah.
Guy probably deserved
it. He doesn't say. I don't. If he did, if the guy was yapping that much and he did it on purpose, at least he didn't go our test on him.
Yeah, that's true. At least he didn't turn around and sock the dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of acting out, last question I have for you. Carlos Gomez on Sunday hit a ball off of Gerrit Cole.
Yep.
That he
Not
thought,
literally off of Gerrit Cole.
Well, you know what I mean. Can I not use sports terminology? Jeepers. Deep center field, goes over McCutcheon's head. He's playing the Pittsburgh Pirates, by the way. The Brewers went over McCutcheon's head off the wall. But after Gomez hit it, he thought it was gone. And he watched it. Kind of, you know.
Big bat flip.
Being very arrogant about it, as he is prone to do. We've seen this before from him.
Yes.
Still ends up getting a triple because he has wheels. Not literally, but he's fast.
I didn't even say anything. Yeah, I don't know.
So anyways, Gerrit Cole goes to pick up the ball from the backup at third, or to back up the throw to third, and yells some choice words at Gomez. Gomez takes exception to it. Bench is clear. Travis Snyder, one of the backup catchers for the Pirates, the Buccos, decides, had enough of you. Throws Gomez to the ground, punches have been thrown, so on and so forth. Do the antics of Carlos Gomez bother you? Because they seem to bother a lot of people. And I'm a baseball guy. I like to consider myself as such.
Okay.
The antics of Carlos Gomez seem to bother a lot of people because it's not the baseball way. And you shouldn't watch your hit. You should run around the bases. And I'll agree with the fact if he hustles out of the box, it's inside the park homer. I truly believe that. Or at least a play at the plate that maybe he scores. But they seem to be upset with the fact that he wants to watch the ball at home plate, and he's very emphatic when he hits a homer. He likes to showboat a little. Do you have a problem with it? Does that irk you at all, Brad?
It's going to irk the traditional baseball fan, you know, the old time baseball fan, the people who've been watching the game for 40 years. It's going to irk those people. The people who either don't regularly watch baseball, or even like me, who watch a lot less baseball than what I used to, it at least is something that is interesting. Is there anything else that Carlos Gomez could have done that would have made our show, would have made any national show?
No.
I mean, and baseball, and that's kind of baseball's little identity crisis right now, is they need stuff like this to get headlines, to get baseball on the map at all, really.
And that's not the right headlines they want.
And they need things like Bryce Harper getting pulled out of the game by Matt Williams. Those are the type of things that are getting them headlines, but at the same time, it's the things that the people in power with the game don't want to have happen. And that's a big problem for them. You know what? To get a little showboating, maybe that's what baseball needs right now.
You need a guy with confidence. Maybe. You need a guy, well, not with confidence, but you need a guy with arrogance. Because the one thing that we as fans have learned to accept, and rightfully so, who knows, right or not, I should say, LeBron James and his screaming after a solid dunk. Or, you know,
and
the
he's
way,
a whiner.
Yeah, a whiner.
Very much a whiner.
I won't accept the complaining. I'll accept the arrogance of a good play. And that's what I'm going down
towards.
Okay. You've got hockey players who go absolutely crazy when they score a goal. And rightfully so. It's a really tough thing to do. Yeah. I'll accept that. But they jump into the glass and they fist pump and they go nuts. You know, baseball players are expected, whether it's right or not, not to show anybody up. I would argue that if this is him showing up the pitcher, then isn't a goal scored the way a hockey player shows up the goalie or the defense? Yeah. And isn't a dunk and the way LeBron James looks at the crowd him showing up the defense?
See, and here's the thing, and it's kind of those unwritten – every sport's got their unwritten rules.
Has their unwritten rules,
because with baseball, you don't do that. With hockey, you go celebrate with your teammates, but if you go and give and make some gesture at the goalie of the other team, you're going to get popped.
Yeah.
If you – in basketball, you can yell at the crowd, but if I get nose-to-nose from you and yell at you, you're going to get teed up, and somebody's going to smack you.
Right.
I mean, each sport has their different degrees, and it's just a matter of what those degrees are. And part of it is, with baseball, it's very much when you're celebrating, unless you hit a walk-off, it's individual, because guess what? You're the only one standing out on the bases. It's, you're the only one at the plate. You score, you do something in almost anything else. And it's, hey, I got teammates. I'm going to be high-fiving my teammates, and you've got that. In baseball, that's it. It's you. That's it.
The pitcher wins 70% of the time on the individual battle, on average,
and more. And I was going to say, more than that. Yeah.
So a pitcher, I would understand, because it's the norm, if he doesn't want to show up the batter, strike him out, get him out, regular ground ball,
and
whatever.
And there have been people, Francisco Rodriguez notably, was criticized quite a bit for that, for every time he got a save. It was Game 7 of the World Series and, yelling, screaming, whatever.
But that's fine with me, because that's the bottom of the ninth. That's high-pressure situation. Yeah. I understand the emotions get going. This is a highly emotional game, whether it be football, basketball, whatever. But to just vehemently rip a guy because he doesn't play baseball the right way, all right, then vehemently rip him out of the league and vehemently rip a guy until he can no longer have any fandom around him, where you become a bad person for liking Yasiel Puig and the way he plays the game. It's a different style. It's a different brand. But because they come into the league confident and they're brash, people get scared. People get upset. But to me, that's fun. That's exciting. Two of my favorite players that are young, I really like Bryce Harper, even though he's very confident, almost overly confident. And I like Jose Fernandez of the Marlins. The guy just has fun. No matter if he's getting homered off of by Carlos Gonzalez, or if he's striking out 20 players. I mean, the guy just, he exudes confidence, but he exudes enthusiasm, which Gomez does as well. Yeah. And a lot of these, Bryce Harper does as well. They love the game.
With those, and those are the kind of guys that are going to get the random eyeballs of, I'm flipping through channels and,
Harper's up, or Gomez.
When's the last time that you sat down and watched an entire baseball game post to post?
It wasn't Minnesota Twins.
Have you done that with the Twins this year?
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay,
I'm a huge baseball guy. Okay. Might not be the right person to ask, but I haven't watched one that isn't the Twins, because it's there's nobody in it that I go, I have to watch them play.
Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. That's why with basketball. Yeah, even the casual fan, Kobe's out there, LeBron's out there.
Yep.
I might be at least stop and watch a few minutes and see what happens. You just don't get the, hey, something could happen here really quick. Even hockey, occasionally, if you can find the channel that they're on, at least it's fast paced.
Final thing to say here as we wrap this up on the Pinto White Shadow Show.
The final thing to say about how I shellacked your fantasy baseball team
10 podcast.
To nothing this last week.
How do you win ties, by the way?
10 to nothing.
I looked at the thing. You won ties. How does that work? Because you had the overall win, they just decided to throw you a couple extra points?
Home team. It's the tiebreaker in our league.
Okay, so when I play you again and I win 2-8, that's how that'll work? Because I'll be the home team. I'll get the my team is just devastated with injuries. And
10
it's just,
nothing. You have to be actively bad to lose 10 categories in fantasy.
I'm literally trying. And I'm
He's tanking for next year already, though there's no incentive to do it.
To get a good draft pick? No. The final thing to say here, as I get back to that, there was a fan thing done. There's this blog out there that did some Google Analytics stuff and went state by state that searched the athlete the most.
Mm.
Not one of them was a baseball player. LeBron James dominated nearly every state. Here was Adrian Peterson, as was South Dakota, Iowa, and Minnesota. But LeBron James dominated East Coast, West Coast, southern part of the United States. It didn't matter. LeBron James. Not one of them was a baseball player. Again, when you look at it, you think about, well, baseball is truly a team sport. You know, football is truly a team sport as well. And there are football players on that, like Tom Brady and Geno Smith, and Adrian Peterson's a running back. So again, baseball is losing its identity because you get guys like this and people want to quiet them down.
You're a combination of slow and you don't promote personalities.
Yep. That's sad.
And, you know, and it just depends what baseball wants to do. If they want to be a regional sport, if they want to be, you know what, we want to promote the heck because that's where our money is in local TV deals. And that's what we're going to promote, and we're going to promote the jerseys, and we're going to promote the, you know, we're going to promote the fabric, and that's what we're going to do instead of promoting the players. That's fine, but you're going to limit yourself. And if you're okay with that limitation, if that's the way you want your sport to be, you know, that's a decision that you have to make. I don't know if it's the right one. I don't know. It's not going to get you any big time national TV deals.
Fun show.
Yeah.
Good show here on the 039 podcast. We discussed a lot of things in rapid fire. Again, comment on the comment section on our podcast page at kfjo.com.
Tyler from Toronto, I still love you.
There's a lot of love.
There's
going
a lot of love,
Toronto,
Tyler.
And Tyler, if you want to send us an email, pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com. Follow us on iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, leave a comment there. Again, I'm on Twitter at PintoKFGO, Brad Jones.
Oh, I'm at the Bison Guy.
Yeah, I figured you would remember your Twitter name. So for Brad Jones, I'm Daniel Gunnarsson. Thank you so much for joining us on the 039 podcast, and have a wonderful day. How you like me now?